Welcome to Restoration Church, located in Goleta, California. To learn more about us, please visit r-church.org. To watch our service or join us via live stream, check out our YouTube channel by searching Restoration Church Goleta.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome. As some of you know, but maybe all of you don't know, Bobby is on a well-deserved vacation this weekend. And so he won't be preaching today, and instead you get the B team, and I'll be preaching today. Bobby has gone to be with some of his family. As you know, Bobby's father was a national motocross champion, and he's going to a motocross event where some of his family's going to be honored, and so he's not with us today. So today... I've been tasked with basically two words, bringing two words from the reading today, and that is love is patient and love is kind. And if you talk to my wife, she'll tell you I'm not very good at following directions. So I will be doing that, but I'm going to be broadening out quite a bit and bringing in some other things as well. So we'll see how it goes. And I also wanted to say I'm not up here because I've got this down, because I'm just the most patient and kind person there is. I'm up here because God has given me some words to speak and some ideas to try to get across to you, and I'm going to try to communicate those today. So what I'm going to do is, before we actually get into our text, love is patient, love is kind, I want to give some kind of overview, some broad ideas about love that I think are important to talk about. And some of this is going to be repeat some of what Bobby talked about last week, but I think some of these ideas are important enough that they deserve kind of being hit again. So the first idea is that biblical love or Christian love, boy, that's smaller than I thought it would be. Can you guys read that? I can't read it. I'm going to get my glasses on. Christian love is not the same as the world's love. And I even put an equation. God's love, not equal world's love. And that may seem obvious, but I think it needs to be said, because when things are subconscious and we hear the word love, and if we're not intentional about thinking about what love is, we can begin to kind of internalize what the world around us is saying about love. And so I wanted to be very explicit and say, when you hear love in a movie or a song or just anywhere, be intentional about thinking about what exactly are they talking about, because it's probably not what God is teaching us as love, what the Christian idea of love is. In the Beatles song, All We Need Is Love, I don't think they're talking about this kind of love. and in fact, if you go to the next slide, C.S. Lewis in the Screwtape Letters talks about what worldly love is. It's Screwtape says that worldly love is described by Screwtape as a mixture of emotion, of the mixture of the emotions of affection, fear, and desire. That's an interesting perspective, and it is a perspective in the story of a demon. So, you know, maybe that's not, but maybe it is. The point there is that in the world, love is really an emotion, and it's really a mixture of emotions, and sometimes it just means sex, okay? Let's just get that out. Sometimes that's just what the world means, and the world is always trying to redefine love because Satan doesn't want us to know what love really is. But if you go to the next slide, we'll see that in Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis describes love, Christian love, either towards God or towards man as an affair of the will. And I thought that was very interesting, because that contrasts Christian love which is an affair of the will, with worldly love, which is all about emotion, all about feelings. And we'll get into that a little bit more. And I'm going to show you how love, as defined in this chapter, is an affair of the will. But the next thing that I think is very important is that love is the Christian's prime directive. Now, that's a Star Trek reference. I don't know how many of you got it. Yeah, the three of you, maybe. For the rest of you, in Star Trek, they have this thing they call the prime directive. It is the most important thing. It is the thing of it. It's their value, their highest value, their value which they cannot break, that nothing would cause them to break this value. And, of course, it's just a story. And I think the prime directive is actually kind of stupid, because their highest value is never to mess up or to get involved in the natural evolution of a society. And so there's certain episodes where the planet is going to be destroyed and everybody's going to die, but they can't save them because that would mess up their prime directive, which is you can't mess with their society. And it's like, well, if they're dead, what does it matter? You know? So anyhow, but I like the idea of something that is our highest value, something above which there is nothing higher, okay? And I'm going to go to the words of Jesus, as Jesus tells us what the prime directive is. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. So they're talking to Jesus. Teacher, which is the great commandment of the law? And he, Jesus, said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. There's our prime directive. But the second is this, is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So, what's our prime directive? Love. Love is the prime directive. Love is the command that we are given by our Savior, Jesus Christ, who we follow. It's straight from the horse's mouth. That is the highest calling that we can have. And I know Bobby read this last week, but I think we can't emphasize this enough. When you wake up in the morning and you think, well, what do I have to do today? Love. Okay? What's more important for me to do today? Love. Everything else doesn't matter. In fact, the first part of the chapter of Corinthians says, you know, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am nothing. So, without love, really, there's nothing else matters. So love is the Christian prime directive. My next point is, we love one another by knowing God. Okay? Well, how does that work? Well, let's go to the next verse. This is John 4, 7 through 12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. If we're lacking love, why is it? We don't know God. It says right there. And if we're lacking love, what's the answer? Know God. And I'm going to give you guys permission right now. If I ask a question, say it, okay? So what's interesting here is he's exhorting us, John is exhorting us to love one another. But that's not the prime directive. That's the second directive, right? That's the secondary commandment. But what's interesting is that what this shows is that if we're deficient in the second commandment, why is it? Because we haven't loved God and known Him. It's because we haven't done the first commandment right. So the second commandment, to love each other, depends upon the first commandment. Because if we love God, we're going to know Him. I mean, how can you love someone you don't know? You know? So this is telling us that if we lack love, we know what the answer is. The answer is go back to the first commandment. Go back to loving God and knowing God. I'm continuing this. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. What I find interesting here is that we see an exhortation to love God, or to love one another, and we see another exhortation to love one another. And what's sandwiched between them? The gospel. The good news is sandwiched between those. What this tells me is that the good news, the gospel, is closely related to love. Because what it tells us is that the gospel is actually born of love. It says, this is the love of God, and how it was made manifest among us is that God sent His Son. So God sent His Son because of love. So we love one another because God sent His Son because He loved us. Anyhow, so those are my three points in general about love. That worldly love is not the same as Christian love, and not the same as what's being taught here in 1 Corinthians. That love is the Christian's prime directive, and that we love one another by knowing God and loving God first. And that our love for one another is dependent upon our love for God. Okay, so now I'm going to get into our text for today. That was just a freebie. That was just my general thoughts about love. So love is patient, love is kind. Okay. What I did, I thought this was kind of interesting. I listed out everything that was in our scripture reading this morning. Love is patient, love is kind is the first two. And those are the ones I'm actually teaching on this morning. And I have it here in my notes somewhere. There he is. As I was looking at this and thinking about patience and kindness and kind of looking through this list, several things occurred to me. Well, the first thing was that I thought, patience and kindness. There's another part of Scripture that I kind of thought about, and that is the fruit of the Spirit. And you can go to the next slide. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, no, I guess I missed that one. You can go back. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's in Galatians 5. There it is. You found it. Against such things, there is no law. And so, you know, doing what I do when I prepare, I thought, well, patience and kindness. Let's see what the Greek says about this. So, next slide, we're going to see in the Greek, patience and kindness are nouns. And I'm not even going to try to pronounce those. I even practiced it a little bit, but I kind of chickened out, and I'm not going to try to pronounce those. But those are Greek words. And those words are actually in the noun form. This is patience, it's the patience, and it's kindness, it's the kindness. These are nouns, they're things, okay? But when I went back to 1 Corinthians 13, you can go to the next slide, what I found is that we're a different form of these verbs, these words. They're the same word, but it's in the verb form. So patience, it's not that love is patient. Love is acting patiently. It's not like love is kind. It's love is acting kindly. Love is being kind. And so what this told me is that love is an action. Love is a verb. It's not an idea. It's not a feeling. It's a verb. It's a choice. It's how you choose to act. And that brings me back up to C.S. Lewis's definition that love is an act of the will, because it's how you choose to behave. And I also went through every other thing in that list, and we can go back to that list, John, if you can. You can go back up one. Okay. And I went through every single part of this list, and every single action, every single thing in this list is a verb. It's in the verb form of the tense. It's not the noun form of the tense, of the root Greek word. So every single thing in this list is an action. It's what you do. It's how you behave. It's how you choose to live. Not a feeling, not an idea, not a noun. But the other thing that occurred to me, and this is kind of a freebie. The verse that we just read said, God is love. Well, if God is love, you can go to the next verse, or the next slide. I have an equation up there. God equals love. Well, you can take the entire chapter of 1 Corinthians, and wherever it says love, you can replace God. Because if God equals love, then they're interchangeable, right? You could say, God is patient. God is kind. God is not envious. God is not boastful. God is not arrogant. God is not rude. God does not insist on his own way. And I thought about that for a moment, because it seems like God is always pretty insistent on his own way, but you know what? He's really not. He's actually patient and kind, and he gives us our own way. more than I kind of think he should. But God is not irritable. God is not resentful. God does not rejoice in wrongdoing. God rejoices in the truth. God bears all things. God believes all things. God hopes all things. God endures all things. God never ends. Anyhow, I thought that was cool. And also, I thought that was meditating on that is a good way of getting to know God better. If you want to love better, you want to know God better, it's a good thing. I kind of meditated on that this week, and it's like, wow. God is amazing. And it's actually through love and through the words of love that we can know God better. Anyhow, that was kind of an aside. That wasn't really part of my original thing, but I kind of thought it was too cool to pass up. my final point is a little complex. And when I first said it to Janet, she's kind of like, "Huh? What are you talking about?" But it's this. Christian love, okay, you saw that list of 16 things, 1 Corinthians. Christian love is not any one of those traits, but it's all of those traits. And what do I mean by that? Because as I was meditating on it, could you go back to the list of traits? Because it's good to see it. Because as I was meditating on that, I thought of some of the errors people fall into. And I know people who are so patient and kind, but they miss number 10. Love did not rejoice in wrongdoing. Or 11. Love rejoices in truth. And I thought, well, is that love? I'm not explaining this well. What I found is that there's actually a tension between some of these, between patience and kindness and some of the others. Should we be patient? Should number one be patient with number 10? Should we be patient with wrongdoing? Should we be kind to untruths? Should two be kind to 11? Should we be kind to when we know that lies are being told? That, you know, no. I actually, in answering that question to myself, my answer was, well, yes, sometimes, but no, sometimes. And as I was kind of exploring and thinking about, meditating about the way we can apply these, if you just take one of them and you amplify it and you just apply it and you miss the others, you're not loving. If you accept somebody who's in sin and never confront them with their sin and never tell them that they're going the wrong way, that's not love. I mean, yeah, you're showing patience and kindness, but you're not doing doing number 11. You're not rejoicing in truth, or you're not doing 10. You're allowing wrongdoing. So I thought the best thing to do would be to go to Jesus. Jesus is God, and God is love. So Jesus is always going to act in love. So let's see some of the things Jesus said. You brood of vipers. This is Jesus speaking. How can you speak good when you are evil? And again, you serpents, you brood of vipers. How are you to escape being sentenced to hell? And that's twice in Matthew, so that's at least two separate instances of that. And then John 2:15, and making a whip of cords, he, Jesus, drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. So was Jesus acting with patience and kindness in these situations? It doesn't look like it, does it? But I think he was. I mean, talking about driving out the money changers from the temple, what he didn't do the first 100 times he went there is he didn't drive them out. I think that shows quite a bit of patience. That shows maybe more patience than I would have shown, right, in that situation. And then I found a verse that kind of, I think, helps make sense of all this. This is Psalm 141:5. Let a righteous man strike me, it is a kindness. Let him rebuke me, it is oil for my head. Let my head not refuse it. So it's interesting. Jesus appears not to be kind when he's talking to the Pharisees, and he appears to be rebuking the Pharisees, and that can be a kindness, because if you see somebody living in sin, or if you see somebody living a lie, how can you not speak out if you're going to love them? How can you not speak out if you care about them? You know? So, and what's interesting is about this is that Jesus both rebuked and he actually struck people, because it says he made a whip of cords. He was using them on something. Turned over their tables. But Jesus, we know, was always patient and always kind. So, if we go back to that list of the, so love is patient and kind, but it doesn't compromise the other areas. Now, what I thought would be an interesting exercise. I hope you guys like this. I found some examples of Christians behaving in certain ways, and what I want to do is I want to take this list and take the way these Christians are behaving, and I want to evaluate it. Are these Christians loving according to 1 Corinthians 13, or are these Christians not loving? So, I started with this. These are people from the Westboro Baptist Church. So these people claim to be Christians, and I'm not going to judge. They can be saved. I don't know. But let's evaluate it according to the list of things that are loving. I think they got some things right, and I think they got some things wrong. What do you guys think? Okay, what do you think they got wrong? Okay, not rude. So they're missing six. Is there anything they got right? Mourn for your sins? That's true. I think the Bible says we should mourn over our sins. So to that extent, that's true. So it's number 11. I think they're trying to bring some truth. Although there's other things like God hates you. Now I've read the Bible. And almost everybody here has memorized John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, the word world in Greek is the word cosmos. Now, what is outside the cosmos?
Nothing.
Nothing. So if God loved the world, what didn't he love? Nothing. So these people are failed, number 11. I mean, they've got some truth. And like America is doomed. Well, if America rejects God, I think that could be true. So maybe that's a partial truth. There are some other things on there that they got partly right, but maybe spoke in, like Andrew said, they in a rude way, or maybe even five, an arrogant way. Okay. So they're failing number 9. Maybe they failed number 8. Which one's 8? Irritable.
Yeah.
Even if they're not irritable themselves, they're causing a lot of irritation, aren't they? So I'm going to say these people failed in love, because if you pick one of those things, like I think they're trying to do number 10. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing. I think they focused on that to the point where they've forgotten all the other ones. But if you just focus on one and you forget the others, is that love? No. Love is the whole package. It's all of them. Any other thoughts on this before I move on? I think we've exhausted this one. Okay, so now we're going to go to the absolutely opposite extreme, okay? We're going to go ahead, John, if you can go to the next one. This one's actually a video. There we go. We're going to go to the opposite extreme. I mean, this is a church. These people are Christians, maybe. I'm not going to judge whether they are or not.
The Sparkle Creed. I believe in the non-binary God, whose pronouns are plural. I believe in Jesus Christ, their child, who wore a fabulous tunic and had two dads, and saw everyone as a sibling child of God. I believe in the rainbow spirit who shatters our image of one white light and refracts it into a rainbow of gorgeous diversity. I believe in the Church of Everyday Saints as numerous, creative, and resilient as patches on the ace quilt, whose feet are grounded in mud and whose eyes gaze at the stars in wonder. I believe in the calling to each of us that love is love is love. So, beloved, let us love.
Now, I thought long and hard about actually even playing this in church because I think there's a lot of things here that are that misrepresent God and misrepresent Christianity. But I decided that if we can't call out wrong in the church, then that hinders us, and so we need to be able to see what people are saying. So let's look at this against our list of love. Is there anything you think they're getting right? And I'm not going to speak to everything that I think is wrong in this video. So just because I don't say it doesn't mean I'm agreeing with it, okay? I'm not going to speak to everything wrong in this video, but I will point out a few things, okay? So what do you think they're emphasizing in this list of love? Okay, yeah, they'll believe kind of anything. And maybe they misunderstand what believes all things means when God says it. But yeah, they seem to be able to believe anything. So one and two. So yeah, I think they are intentionally trying to be patient and kind. Like maybe kindness especially. Number six. Okay. I think they're intentionally trying not to be rude. Seven does not insist on his own way. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think so. They're very, very, very inclusive. Okay. Okay. What do you think they're getting wrong in this list? 11. Okay. 10. Seven, let's see, does not insist. Well, okay, maybe. I think if you went in there and tried to read certain Bible verses, I think they would shut you down. Okay? I'm just guessing because I don't know how they can believe everything they believe unless they've mentally, okay, deleted some of the Bible. 11, hopes all things? Yeah, okay. Okay, I can see that one. So what are they getting wrong?
Not the same as God, but we know the Bible.
Okay. So there's truths about God that they don't have, right? So they're missing
the word God.
They say the word God, but
what does God mean to them?
Yeah. So they're missing number 11. They're not rejoicing in truth as we understand truth being objective reality about God or about what God teaches us in the Bible, right?
And this is God's love. God is truth.
Yes, God is truth as much as he is love. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. So they're missing some truth. I think it's possible, and I don't know for sure, but I think that numbers 4 and 5, I think they're probably pretty self-satisfied in their openness and their open-mindedness. I think there might be a little bit of pride in there. But you see what I'm saying. Point is, if you take any one of these or two of these things and you say, this is what I'm going to live for and I'm just going to ignore the rest of them, that isn't love. Love is it's the whole thing. It's all of it. And if you miss one of them, you've missed love because you're gonna emphasize the wrong things, and you're going to miss the truths if you emphasize feeling or the patience and kindness. But if you focus only on righteousness and truth, you're going to miss the kindness and not rudeness and not arrogance. And God is all of those things all at the same time. Now, here's the thing. I talked to Janet about this a little earlier, and she said, well, gosh, I could do one or two of those, but how can I do all of those? I mean, that's a big calling, right? I mean, that's huge. And when I look at that, I think, yeah, I could probably nail one or two on occasion, but I can't do all of those. And you're right, you can't do all of those. And that's why when we read in 1 John 5, it said, love is of God. And that's why you have to have God first and his love. And that's why you have to have the Holy Spirit in you, because the only way you can do this perfectly is through God's strength and empowering work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Because Jesus, when he interacted with people, he showed patience and kindness, but he balanced that with truth and righteousness. And he knew when to emphasize one and when to emphasize another. And God is smart enough to know that, and we are not. Okay? We aren't. So, and that's another reason why without God, without knowing God, we can't love. Because God is the source of love, and he's the source of the wisdom that it takes to be able to love the way we should. And I think that's about all I've got for you. But I did want to go through one other exercise. Let's back up one slide. You don't need to play maybe two slides. I want to go back to the list. I thought it might be a real good idea to evaluate us and our church, like we just evaluated those two examples on this list. What do you think we're getting right?
Number 2,
yeah.
Number 1,
good.
11,
yes. We rejoice in truth. Are we doing all of them? Are we consistently doing all of them? We're human. We're sinners, and I get it. But are we open to all of them, and are we working towards all of them?
Yes.
Okay. Does anybody see any that we're maybe lacking? Number 16. Yeah. I know that you know, any group of people that's going to be together, there's going to be friction, there's going to be petty squabbles, there's going to be hurt feelings. So I know that we're not always doing all of them, but I think we're really good at trying to do all of them, and I think we're on the right path. And it's like Bobby says over and over again, it's not perfection, it's direction. So we're never going to be perfect in love, but we should always be better than we were yesterday. If we're getting to know God better, and that's the prerequisite, we've got to get to know God better to get better in love. Okay, so now I'm going to just, now you can go to the last slide, John. Yeah, there we go. These are my points. I'm going to hit them one more time. God's love is not the world's love. When you hear the word love, be intentional. Think about what they mean, because you don't want to accidentally start taking the world's ideas. You need to guard against that. The world's ideas of love is not what God wants. Love is the Christian's prime directive. What am I going to do today? Love. That's our prime directive. That's our top goal. That's what we're here for. We love one another by knowing God. You know, knowing God can sound intimidating, and it can sound hard, but the thing is, God's on your side on that. He's just waiting. All you have to do is let him, and he will teach you about himself. He'll guide you and he'll direct you. Love is an action. It's not just an idea. It's not an emotion, not a feeling. It's how you choose to live and what you choose to do when you relate to others. And then 5, Christian love is not any one of those traits, but it's all of them.
Thanks for listening in. If you have any questions or need prayer, send us an email at info@r-church.org. Grace and peace.